This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Self-Reliance by Ernest Holmes. First of all, the man with spiritual self-reliance must believe in God. It makes no great difference just what religious faith he has, for fundamental to all faith is a belief in God. Everything else is non-essential. First of all, then, and fundamental to everything else, is this faith in a power greater than we are. Next, and equally necessary, is faith in ourselves. And the kind of faith in ourselves we are talking about is, of course, not in an isolated self, as though we were struggling alone, but rather faith in a spiritual self. Because this type of self-reliance comes only to those who have a deep conviction, not only about God, but about themselves. Therefore, this kind of self-reliance must have, as one of the mainsprings of its being, the conviction that man is a living spirit, that he has his being in a power greater than he is, and a power that responds to him. We all believe that God is, and we all believe that we live because God lives in us. And we think because the mind of God thinks through us, we should think intelligently and act creatively, because the mind that created everything is creating something new in us right now. Here are the first steps, then, in acquiring spiritual self-reliance: to believe in God with our whole being, to believe in the reality of our spiritual selves as forever one with God, and to establish a continual communion with that God who is both within and round about us. And last but not least, we find that all the great souls have acted on their vision. Having received it, they no longer remain passive. They carried the vision into action in human affairs. They were like people who listened to some celestial music in the silence of their souls, then sing it over again that others may hear it. They were those who went into the secret place of the Most High within themselves and received the healing balm of life, then took it into the marketplace that others could be made whole. Jesus applied his spiritual power for every sort of purpose: the healing of the sick, feeding the multitude, and all the other miraculous things that took place in his experience. All of these were a direct result of having followed the first three rules fundamental to acquiring spiritual self-reliance: belief in God, belief in your own spiritual self, communion with God, talking to God, letting God talk to you. Then, out of the inspiration that comes, carrying this power and this conviction into the affairs of everyday life. Let us then see how this would work out in our experience. And let's start with a suppositional case of someone who lacks confidence in himself. He has no self-reliance whatsoever. He thinks of himself as weak and inadequate, and he is filled with fear and disappointment. He is frustrated because his fondest hopes have been shattered on the rocks of experience. His boat is adrift on a notion of uncertainty. Seems as there were no chart, no compass, no guide, no pilot, only aimless and uncertain drifting. Now we have described a pretty forlorn hope, haven't we? At least the prodigal son is as far away from his home as he could ever expect to be. And it was right here in this distant land, in this faraway place, that something happened to him. Something happened within him which he hadn't put there. Something which God had put there caused him to remember who and what he was. And so something within him did remember, and it whispered to him that things might be different. And this is hope. Hope coming like a gleam of light from an invisible source, and the will to listen. It is apparent in the story that the prodigal son did listen. He communed with God because everything else had failed. He listened to God because everything else he had been hearing was false and confusing. And just what happened to him at this point? Up until now, he had been out on his own. He had been all alone, so to speak. And he had become frustrated and destitute. Then at long last, he had begun to think, to listen, to talk to that something which he dimly remembered, just as we all do. And that something responded to him and brought with it a vision, the vision of a better life, the vision of a father's house, of loving associates, and a home for which he so greatly longed. Suppose that everything had stopped right there. He would have merely had a beautiful dream, a dream from which he must so soon awake, only to find himself plunged even more deeply into despair. But a new determination came to him, the will to act, the will to act backed by the impulse of faith, and a whole new energy flowed into him, feeling and imagination, and even this wasn't enough. For the will to act must be followed by the action, so that the will itself passes into action and becomes the act. It is only in this way that we can hook up our desire and feeling and creativity with accomplishment. And so the prodigal arose and started on the return journey. Would his father receive him? Had he strength enough to make the journey? What enemies would he encounter on the road? For there were thieves on that highway. What deserts must he pass through in the heat of the day? What mountains must he climb? What rivers must be forded? Seemed as though every obstruction that the imagination could conceive confronted him. But the vision did not die. His confidence was fresh and strong and clear. Even the most deadly attitude of all, which was self-condemnation, finally fled when the father enfolded him in loving embrace. Well, this is the story of all of us. You and myself and everyone, it is the story of human life, the greatest story ever told, but without meaning until we personalize it. For we are that son. And so our experiment is with ourselves, as it always must be. And what difference does it make if we have floundered and failed? Now that we remember, let us arise and let us awaken. Let us awaken this sleeping giant within us, this spiritual genius who is forever one with God. And let us trust this divine partnership as we have never trusted anything else before. And for everything that says no, suppose we find a yes. And when the thought comes which says, I cannot, let's say, but God can. That within me which is pure spirit can and will. And if the thought comes which says, but look at all these obstructions, let's say God knows no obstructions. The spirit within me, my real self, knows no barrier. And for every argument that denies you the good you feel belongs to you, see to it that you find an affirmation which counteracts that argument. You need not be afraid, for faith already is in you, a faith which can overcome everything, a conviction that no longer doubts, a feeling that reaches out into the invisible and grasps power in its hands, draws it back into your experience and expresses it through your act. Gradually a conviction will come to you, which will turn all obstructions into opportunities, all fears into faiths, and all doubts into certainties. Remember this, there is within you and at the very center of your being a truth which knows no evil, a power which knows no weakness, a light which can dissolve all darkness. The manifestation of good can be complete. Let every thought and act be an expression of that goodness which flows from life, that divine life which circulates automatically through you and freely. Every atom of your being is animated by its action. Every day recognize the abundance of life. And let your own thought animate everything in your experience with enthusiasm. And try to remember only the good and accept the good and expect the good. Know that your word penetrates every unbelief in your mind and casts out all fear and removes doubt and clears away obstructions, permitting that which is enduring, perfect, and true to be realized. Have complete faith and acceptance that all the thoughts, the statements, all the affirmations you make will be realized, and know that there is a presence and a perfect law irresistibly drawing into your experience everything that makes life happy and worthwhile. Know that whatever things belong to you will come to you as though God Himself were bringing them. Recognize your good, understand, accept it and act upon it, and enjoy, enter into the fulfillment of that life which knows only good. And always think there is a power within you greater than anything that ever will confront you. This power you may call upon. There is a law of good that responds. There is an intelligence that guides. There is a love that protects. There is a law that governs. Say, it is God that worketh in me. Therefore I am letting go of fear and doubt. I am loosing it and letting it go, even as I affirm the presence of perfect life. And I feel that this life is entering into my being in harmony. I am one with its rhythm. I feel the undulation and the pulsation of the universe flowing through me with perfect power and ease and in joy. And I enter into a deep conviction that all is well. All is well with myself and with others. I enter into a conscious union with others, into harmony with everything that transpires in my everyday life, and into a deep sense of gratitude for life itself. There is one life, that life is God. In that life I live and move and have my being, even as that life flows through me in everything that I do and say and think. So I let go of everything that denies the goodness of this life. I feel that God is giving back to me everything that belongs to love and harmony and peace. Therefore I rejoice in this self-discovery, and I see myself not lost, but found in that which is perfect, complete, and whole.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.